Encircled by a wreath of film, the MGM lion roars. The Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer trademark. Below it is the legend, 75 years of excellence. White dots travel left to right across a black screen. Returning from the right, James Bond, suavely dressed in a dinner suit, is seen viewed down the barrel of a gun. Bond turns and shoots. A blood-red wash covers the screen. The gun barrel becomes an iris effect, which opens out to reveal Bond, now dressed in a business suit and sporting glasses, walking down a street in Bilbao, Spain. He goes into La Banque Suisse de la Industrie. In an office, he's searched and his gun is taken. A balding man addresses him.
So good of you to come see me, Mr. Bond, particularly on such short notice.
If you can't trust a Swiss banker, what's the world come to?
Bon, for now that we're all comfortable, why don't you sit down?
Bond takes a seat.
It's not easy, but I have retrieved the money. No doubt Sir Robert will be pleased to see it again. At the current rate of exchange, minus the fees and certain unforeseeable expenses. Voilà, the receipt.
Would you like to check my figures?
Bond eyes the woman.
Perfectly rounded.
She's not impressed.
I didn't come for the money. The reports Sir Robert bought were stolen from an MI6 agent who was killed for it.
Bond removes his glasses and produces a photo.
I want to know who killed him.
Terrible tragedy.
I just want a name.
I am merely the middleman. I'm just trying to do the honorable thing, returning the money to its rightful owner.
Mm. And we know how difficult that can be for a Swiss banker.
Bond toys with his glasses. Bristling, the banker gets up and walks over to Bond.
I'm offering you the opportunity to walk out with the money, Mr. Bond.
And I'm giving you the opportunity to walk out with your life.
Looking at our present situation, strictly as a banker, I would have to say that the numbers are not on your side.
Well, perhaps you fail to take into account my hidden assets.
His glasses remotely trigger his gun to explode. He jumps up, knocks out two heavies and shoots a third. He aims a gun at the banker.
You seem to have had a small reversal of fortune. Give me the name.
I can't tell you.
Let's count to three. You can do that, can't you? One. Two.
All right. But you'll have to protect me.
The banker flops forward, killed by a dagger in the back of his neck. Bond runs to the office door, which swings open, and he sees someone run away up the stairs outside. Hearing people approaching from the floors below, he ducks back in the office and bolts the door. He looks out of the window and sees police cars approaching. Turning, he sees one of the heavies he knocked out aiming a gun at him. Bond raises his hands and notices the red dot of a laser sight tracking across the man's suit. A shot is fired from somewhere outside and the man falls dead. Bond sees the bullet hole in the window and tries to see where the shot came from. There's no one in sight. As the cops hammer on the door, Bond takes a length of cord from the blinds on the windows. He ties one end of it to the remaining unconscious heavy on the floor, then takes the briefcase of money and ties the other end of the cord to his belt. He uses the case to smash a window, then leaps out of it with the briefcase. As he falls, the cord tightens and the heavy is dragged across the office. The heavy comes round and grabs hold of a table. Dangling in the air, Bond yanks on the cord. The table leg gives way and the heavy slides across to the window. The extra distance lowers Bond to the ground outside. Bond releases the cord and calmly walks off with the briefcase. The office door is broken down and the Guardia Civil burst in, guns at the ready. The heavy raises his hands. Bond walks away across a bridge. At MI6 headquarters in London, Bond puts the money in wads of £50 notes through a scanner. A colleague watches over his shoulder. Bond goes into his boss M's outer office, where her secretary, Moneypenny, is working.
James, have you brought me a souvenir from your trip? Chocolates? An engagement ring?
A cigar tube.
One of these.
How romantic. I know exactly where to put that.
He raises his eyebrows and she throws it in the bin.
Oh, Moneypenny. The story of our relationship. Close, but no cigar.
I hate to tear you away from affairs of state, 007. Would you mind coming in?
Right away, Em.
Sir Robert King, James Bond.
Ah, the man who retrieved my money. I can't thank you enough. Excellent work. Be careful, Em. I might try to steal him from you.
Construction's not exactly my speciality.
Quite the opposite, in fact.
Sir Robert kisses M, then makes his way out. Bond turns to M.
Old friend.
We read law at Oxford together. I always knew he'd conquer the world. Care for a drink?
Yes, thank you.
He's a man of great integrity.
Who buys stolen reports for £3 million.
She gives him a scotch.
Any leads on the sniper?
Not one. A professional job. She must be working for someone. Is this the stolen report?
Yes, classified, from the Russian Atomic Energy Department.
What would King want this for?
He was led to believe the document was a secret report, identifying the terrorists who'd attacked a new oil pipeline he's building in the region.
Interesting. But it doesn't exactly explain why someone would want me out of their office alive.
He sniffs his drink and notices the ice is fizzing in it. The water on his fingers also fizzes.
King, the money.
Money, Penny. Stop, King.
Sir Robert is being shown into a vault. Bond dashes into Q Division, where Q is working on a boat.
Move!
The money is laid out on a table ready for Sir Robert. Bond dashes down a corridor. In the vault, Sir Robert looks at his money. A lapel pin on his jacket emits a signal and the pile of cash suddenly explodes. The blast blows a hole in the exterior wall of the MI6 building. In the corridor, Bond picks himself up and goes into the vault. Through the hole blown in the wall, he sees a powerboat on the river outside, in the back of which is the woman from the bank in Bilbao. She aims an assault rifle at him. Bond spots the laser dot on his suit and ducks just as she opens fire. Bond runs back into Q Division and takes the speedboat Q was working on and sets off in pursuit of the powerboat. Too late to stop him, an irate Q runs over waving his arms. The speedboat accelerates away and flies out of a hatch, which opens in the side of the MI6 building. It flies through the air and lands on the Thames outside. Bond opens the throttle and the speedboat hares after the powerboat, skimming over the water. Aboard the powerboat, the woman sees Bond closing in on her and increases her speed. Bond flicks a switch, igniting two rocket boosters on the back of his boat. It lunges forwards, bouncing wildly over the water. The two boats race past the Houses of Parliament and on under Westminster Bridge. The woman turns the wheel of the powerboat and tries to ram Bond's smaller boat. He dodges her but gets a soaking from her bow wave. The powerboat careens into a jetty, smashing it to matchwood, then speeds on down the river. Bond fires his rocket boosters and overtakes the woman's boat. But the woman darts right down a narrow canal. Bond swings his boat around and gives chase. The woman's powerboat sweeps out under a bridge, emerges into a wide basin and comes to a halt. Bond's speedboat powers out into the basin. He sees the powerboat up ahead. As he races towards it, the woman opens fire on him with a heavy machine gun mounted at the rear of her boat. Bond ducks down and, fortuitously, his boat appears to be bulletproof as the projectiles just bounce off it. Bond drives his boat into the back of the woman's. She throws herself onto the deck as Bond's boat bounces off the back of her boat, turns a somersault in the air and lands back in the water. The woman gets up and guns her boat's engine. It sets off across the basin. Bond turns his boat around and gives chase. A couple of other boats get between them as the woman fires a grenade launcher at Bond. He's showered with water, but one of the shells hits one of the other boats and it's blown to smithereens. The woman throws down the grenade launcher and speeds on. Bond has to swerve violently to avoid a collision with another boat. The woman races her boat towards a bascule bridge, the two halves of which are being lowered. She gets under it just before the bridge closes and the waterway is blocked. As Bond speeds towards the bridge, he pulls a lever marked dive, and his boat does indeed duck below the surface of the water. As he passes under the bridge, he straightens his tie. The speedboat resurfaces on the other side of the bridge and continues its pursuit. The woman uses her boat to ram a police boat beside a wharf. The police boat explodes and in turn sets fire to a pile of barrels on the wharf side. They explode too, throwing an impassable barrier of debris and burning fuel across the waterway. Bond comes to a halt as the woman gets away. He consults his sat-nav display and finds a shortcut which entails going across country. Some clampers are hard at work beside the river, immobilizing some unfortunate's car. Bond's boat sweeps past and its bow wave gives the clampers a good soaking. Bond powers his boat on up a weir. He speeds past some canoeists and launches his boat through their club hut and it bounces out onto the road beyond. The boat bumps on down a side road, then, pursued by two police cars, it continues to plough its way through an indoor fish market. Boxes of fish are barged out of the way of the boat and the pursuing cars. Bond's boat smashes through the front door of a restaurant, scattering diners and tables and chairs. It bounces out off a balcony, overturning a table stacked with profiteroles, and lands back in the Thames ahead of the woman's powerboat. Bond speeds towards her head-on. As he does so, he prepares to launch two torpedoes. He hits the fire button and the torpedoes race towards the woman's boat. Seeing them coming, she turns sharply to her right and heads towards the Millennium Dome. The torpedoes lock on and come after her. The powerboat skids onto the bank and the woman leaps onto dry land just as the torpedoes hit home, blowing her boat to matchwood. The woman commandeers a hot air balloon at gunpoint, which is just outside the dome. She fires the burners up as Bond's boat races across the Thames. It bounces up the remains of the powerboat and sails through the air. As it does so, Bond leaps from the boat and grabs hold of a mooring rope trailing from the balloon as it rises into the sky. The woman fires a shot at Bond as he dangles below the basket. She sees two police choppers approaching.
Listen to me! You can't get away! We can make a deal! Just tell me who's behind this! Who you're working for! Don't do it! Don't blow us up! I can protect you! Do you understand? I can protect you!
Not from him!
The woman shoots one of the balloon's gas canisters. Bond lets go of the rope and falls back towards the dome. The balloon explodes and Bond hits the roof of the dome. He tumbles down the side of it. The wrecked balloon falls from the sky. Bond grabs a support wire on the dome and dangles precariously from it. He winces in pain. Over falling drops of oil, Albert R. Broccoli's Eon Productions Limited presents Pierce Brosnan as Ian Fleming's James Bond 007 in The World Is Not Enough. The world is depicted as having oceans of oil, starring Sophie Marceau, Robert Carlyle, Denise Richards, Robbie Coltrane. Several attractive girls are submerged in a lake of shimmering oil. Now the viscous black liquid coats their gyrating naked bodies. Desmond Llewellyn, Maria Grazia Cucinotta, Samantha Bond, Michael Kitchen, Colin Salmon, Serena Scott Thomas, Ulrich Thompson, Goldie, John Seru, Claude Olivier Rudolph, and Judy Dench as M. Globes ridden by beautiful women rotate in the air. One globe is the world with oceans of oil, another is a huge ball of fire. The ball of fire disappears in a series of ripples. Oil derricks pump ceaselessly. Behind them billow great clouds of flames. If we can't have it all, then nobody will. The world is... Oil flows up the screen defying gravity. It metamorphoses into the outline of several dancing girls. Casting, Debbie McWilliams. Main title designed by Daniel Kleinman. The girls dance and gyrate against a swirling rainbow background that looks like oil on water. A girl rises up out of a heaving lake of oil. Editor Jim Clark. More girls rise up out of the oil. Production designer Peter Lamont. Music by David Arnold. The World Is Not Enough, performed by Garbage, written by David Arnold and Don Black. A bullet hits one of the dancing girls and she disintegrates back into oil. Screenplay by Neil Purvis and Robert Wade and Bruce Feirstein. Story by Neil Purvis and Robert Wade, produced by Michael G. Wilson and Barbara Broccoli. Directed by Michael Apted. A lone piper plays in the bell tower of a church as the mourners at a funeral leave. Some of them commiserate with Electra, Sir Robert King's daughter. Right. Tall brunette Electra kisses a man on the cheek, then turns and goes over to M. The two women share a hug. MI6 colleague Charles Robinson turns to Bond.
King's daughter. Electra.
Later at MI6 headquarters in Scotland...
The money was dipped in urea, in effect a highly compacted fertiliser bomb. Having handled the money, the water on 007's hands when he touched the ice started a chemical reaction. In one of the notes, the metal anti-counterfeiting strip had been replaced with magnesium, which acted as a detonator, and King's lapel pin was switched for a copy which contained a radio transmitter to trigger the blasts. In other words, he set off the bomb that killed him.
We know it was someone close to King, and our only lead committed suicide on that balloon. But given the size of King's organization, it could be anyone, anywhere. M.
Bond looks thoughtful.
This will not stand. We will not be terrorized by cowards who would murder an innocent man and use us as the tool. We'll find the people who committed this atrocity. We'll follow them to the farthest ends of the earth if needs be. And we will bring them to justice.
Moneypenny comes in and hands briefing notes to everyone except Bond, whose left arm is in a sling. Irritated, Bond gets up and goes over to another colleague, Bill Tanner.
Tanner!
Sorry, James. M says you're off the active duty list until you're cleared by medical.
A glamorous female doctor looks at an X-ray of Bond's shoulder.
Dislocated collarbone. If any more tendons snap, I'm afraid you're going to be out of action for weeks.
Bond takes the X-ray and tosses it aside.
I need a clean bill of health. You have to clear me for duty.
James, that wouldn't really
be... Ethical.
Practical. Smart.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's just skirt the issue, shall we?
He deftly removes her skirt.
This time.
Whatever the doctor orders.
And I suppose if you stayed in constant contact...
Of course.
If you showed sufficient stamina without all kinds of...
strenuous activity.
Back in his clothes, Bond wanders past a room where a piper is playing. Curious, he stops and looks inside. Q is working at a computer nearby. The piper suddenly turns and fires a machine gun out of one of the pipes at a dummy. This is followed by flames issuing from a second pipe.
I suppose we all have to pay the piper sometime, right, Q?
Oh, pipe down, 007.
Is it something I said?
No. Something you destroyed my fishing boat. For my retirement, away from you.
A billiard table opens now, in the middle.
I want to introduce you to the young fellow I'm grooming to follow me.
A man working on a car rises up on a hydraulic ramp.
Ah.
His coat is caught in the car door. Bond opens it.
And you might be... This is 007.
If you're Q, does that make him R?
Ah, yes, the legendary 007 wit. Or at least half of it. Now, I dare say, 007, that you've met your match with this machine.
Yeah, new model, improved specs.
I thought you were on the inactive roster, some kind of injury.
Yes, well, we'll see about that. So?
As I was saying, the very latest in intercepts and countermeasures... Titanium armor, a multitasking heads-up display, and six beverage cup holders. All in all, rather stocked.
Fully loaded, I think, is the term.
I think.
You're not here to think. You're here to do what I tell you. Now, go and put on the coat and demonstrate it for 007.
But of course. Now, watch closely, please, 007. The right arm goes in the right sleeve, thus, and the left arm in the left sleeve, thus. Now, note closely, please. Pockets, poppers, and zipper. Take the lower part of the zipper and insert it into the appropriate...
Pull the tag.
What? You said...
Q pulls it, and R is enveloped in a padded ball. He rolls around helplessly.
For the job. You're not retiring anytime soon. Are you?
Now, pay attention, 007. I've always tried to teach you two things. First, never let them see you bleed.
And the second?
Always have an escape plan.
Q disappears on the hydraulic ramp along with the car. Bond studies a newspaper article headed, Sir Robert King takes over Isumi.
Good evening. The Electra King kidnap ordeal is over. The Cyprus authorities say she has escaped after shooting dead two of her captors and is...
Bond studies footage of Electra.
He shouted. He shouted all the time.
In the clip, Bond notices a tear roll down Electra's face. He reaches out and touches it on the monitor. Bond brings up a Polaroid of Electra holding a newspaper with the sum $5 million written beneath it. He looks at the figure, then takes the final statement he was given at the bank in Spain and examines the amount. It's £3,030,003. He uses an exchange rate program and enters the sterling sum. Bond converts the pounds figure to dollars. It comes to around 5 million. Biting his lip, Bond accesses the MI6 database on Electra King. A red flashing sign pops up saying access denied.
Level 1, clearance required.
Bond walks into a meeting.
Yes, 007?
Tell me about the kidnapping of Electra King.
I wasn't aware you had an assignment on this case.
I brought the money in that killed King.
Don't make this personal.
I'm not. Are you?
They stare at each other.
You're the only one who could seal her file.
M takes a breath and looks uncomfortable. Everyone else leaves the room.
I will not tolerate insubordination, 007.
Eyeing her keenly, Bond paces slowly towards her.
What happened?
M shuffles uncomfortably.
After Electra King was kidnapped. Her father tried to deal with it on his own, with no success. So he came to me.
Surprised, Bond stares at her with interest. Wilting under his gaze, M turns and paces across the room.
As you are aware, we do not negotiate with terrorists. And against every instinct in my heart, every emotion as a mother, I told him not to pay the ransom. I thought we had time on our side.
You used the girl as bait?
Yes.
The money in King's briefcase was precisely the same amount as the ransom demand for his daughter.
M looks taken aback. Bond hands her the bank statement.
It's a message. Your terrorist is back.
A 3D holographic image of a man's head with a bullet hole above the right eye is generated at a briefing.
Zocas, a.k.a.
Renard, the anarchist.
He was operating in Moscow in 1996, Pyongyang, North Korea before that, and he's been spotted in Afghanistan, Bosnia, Iraq, Iran, Beirut, and Cambodia.
All the romantic vacation spots.
His only goal is chaos.
After Robert came to me, I sent 009 to kill Renard. Before he completed the mission, Electra escaped. A week later, our man caught up with a target. He put a bullet in his head. That bullet's still there.
How did he survive?
The doctor who saved Renard couldn't get the bullet out, so Renard killed him. It's moving through the medulla oblongata, killing off his senses. Touch, smell, he feels no pain. He can push himself harder, longer than any normal man. The bullet will kill him, but he'll grow stronger every day until the day he dies.
The hologram switched off.
Robert is dead. MI6 is humiliated. He's had his revenge.
Not quite. Renard had three enemies in that kidnapping. And there's still one he hasn't touched. Electra.
Moneypenny comes in. She hands M a document.
I see the good doctor has cleared you. Notes you have exceptional stamina. I'm sure she was touched by his dedication.
Moneypenny looks at the doctor.
007, I want you to go to Electra. She's taken over the construction of her father's oil pipeline in the Caspian Sea. Find who switched that pin. If your instincts are right, Renard will be back. And Electra will be the next target.
The worm on the hook again.
She doesn't need to know it's the same man that may be after her. Don't frighten her.
Shadow operation?
Remember, shadows stay in front or behind. Never on top.
In Azerbaijan, a forest of oil derricks sprout from the countryside and out of a lake. Wearing a grey business suit, Bond drives his newly acquired BMW Z8 with the top down beside the lake. The road leads through the middle of the derricks and Bond looks at the nodding pumps. As he drives on, the road leaves the oil field and heads into a forest. Looking up, he notices a helicopter above him. An arrangement of circular saws hang below the aircraft for trimming trees. Bond drives on and after a while arrives at the construction site for the new oil pipeline. As he pulls up, a man approaches him.
You, go back. Leave. This area is closed.
I'm here to see Electra King. James Bond, Universal Exports.
And I'm Davidov, Chief of Security. As you can see, we're having some problems with the villagers. I told Miss King to stay at her office in Baku.
Oh, hell.
Bond watches as Davidov runs over to meet a chopper as it comes into land. It's quickly surrounded by a hostile crowd of villagers led by an Orthodox priest with a flowing beard. Electra gets out of the helicopter shadowed by a large minder. Davidov intercepts her.
Miss King, I told you to stay!
I know what you told me.
The priest meets her and nods courteously. The priest leads Electra and her entourage, which now consists of about half a dozen heavily armed soldiers, as well as her minder and Davidov, up a hill. Bond follows behind them. The priest and Electra go into a church. Bond looks in on them as they talk. The priest comes out of the church and addresses the villagers.
Благая весть, часовня спасена.
Send the pipe around.
It's going to take weeks and cost millions. Your father approved this route.
Then my father was wrong. Do it.
Davidov.
I'll talk to him.
Elektra walks over to Bond.
I saw you at my father's funeral.
Yes. I'm sorry.
M told me she was sending someone. Mister?
Bond. James Bond.
Did you know my father?
I met him once. Briefly. You seem to have inherited his touch for diplomacy.
Saving the church.
And avoiding the bloodshed.
100 years ago, my mother's family discovered the oil here. When the Soviet Union was formed, the communists spent the next 70 years plundering our countryside for it.
I saw the mess they left on the drive-in.
The new pipeline will guarantee our future. But it would be a crime to destroy what little is left of our past.
She walks on. Bond looks impressed. A machine strips branches off a log.
To talk about oil, did you?
No.
Tell me, have you ever lost a loved one, Mr. Bond?
He shifts slightly uncomfortably.
M sent me because we're afraid your life might be in danger.
Please, I want to show you something. I'm trying to build an 800-mile pipeline through Turkey, past the terrorists in Iraq, Iran and Syria. Up here, the Russians have 3 competing pipelines, and they'll do anything to stop me. My father was murdered. The villagers are rioting. And you, Mr. Bond, have come all this way to tell me that I might be in danger?
Bond takes the burnt lapel pin from his pocket.
We suspect there might be an insider.
She looks at the pin.
My father's pin?
No, a duplicate. With a transmitter inside that set off the bomb.
My family has relied on MI6 twice, Mr. Bond. I won't make that mistake a third time.
She and Bond walk together.
I'm going to finish building this pipeline, and I don't need your help.
Oh.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to check the survey lines.
I've always wanted to check the survey lines.
You don't take no for an answer, do you?
No.
He picks up some skis.
You know how to ski, then.
I came prepared for a cold reception.
Elektra's helicopter flies up a valley between snow-capped, craggy peaks. In the cabin, Bond, dressed for the piste, sits beside Elektra, who wears a fur hat. They exchange a brief smile. The pilot calls back to Elektra.
Can't land! Wind's too strong!
Hold her steady!
The pilot brings the chopper in low over one of the snow-covered slopes. Elektra and Bond don dark glasses and their skis. Elektra jumps out of the chopper and skis off. Bond jumps down after her and skis along behind her. The couple ski on down the slope into a wide valley, Elektra leading the way. The chopper flies past above them. Enjoying herself, Elektra skis on down a steep gully, Bond following not far behind. Elektra pulls up and admires the view out over the craggy, snow-frosted mountain peaks. Bond pulls up beside Elektra.
You ski very well, Mr. Bond.
Seems you enjoy being chased. Probably happens all the time.
Less often than you might think.
So this is where they meet. The two ends of the pipeline. Your father's legacy.
My family's legacy. To the world.
They look up and see 4 motorized paragliders with black canopies wheeling in the air above them.
Expecting visitors?
No.
One of the pilots cocks a machine pistol.
This isn't a social call. Head for the gully. I'll lead them into the trees. Go, go!
Elektra skis off one way, Bond heads off the other. The paragliders chase after Bond. One of the pilots pulls the pin out of a grenade and lobs it at Bond. The resultant explosion forms a wall of fire as Bond leaps over a jump. The paragliders' attention diverted, Elektra skis on unmolested. As Bond skis between some trees, one of the paraglider pilots opens fire on him with his machine pistol. The bullets kick up the snow behind Bond. He ducks down a narrow path between the trees, and one of the paragliders gives chase but comes in too low. His canopy gets caught in a tree, and the sled he's sitting in crashes into the trunk and explodes in a ball of flames. Elektra makes good her escape. Meanwhile, the remaining three paragliders are still in hot pursuit of Bond. Two of them touch down and shed their canopies, instantly converting them into powered bobsleds. As they give chase, the remaining paraglider soars above the slope and lobs grenades at Bond. Bond skis on and heads down a narrow path between the trees. The pilot of the sled behind Bond opens fire, his bullets kicking up the snow beside Bond. The paraglider up above drops a grenade, which explodes in front of the first pursuing bobsled. The snow it throws up temporarily blinds the pilot, and he crashes into the trees, his sled exploding in a ball of flames. Bond skis to the edge of a steep cliff face and slews to an abrupt halt. The remaining bobsled is unable to stop in time and sails off the edge of the cliff. Bond watches it fall with satisfaction.
See you back at the lodge.
As the sled falls, it deploys a second parachute. The sight of it opening wipes the smile off Bond's face. As the newly restored paraglider wheels round to come back for him, Bond skis on down the slope towards it. The other remaining paraglider is coming in from above. As he sees the two paragliders together, Bond stops and gets an idea. Elektra watches as Bond skis off the side of the cliff. As he falls, his skis slice a hole in the canopy of the ascending paraglider. Bond lands on the slope and rolls to a halt as the paraglider spins out of control on its holed canopy. Bond gets to his feet and Elektra skis over to him. They watch as the damaged paraglider flies into the one descending from above. The two aircraft explode, causing an avalanche. As they fall, Bond pulls Elektra to him and he activates his Q-coat. They are both enveloped in the protective padded ball. Bond illuminates the interior with LEDs on his Omega Seamaster watch.
Oh my God. It's all right.
Bond slits the ball open and digs out of the snow.
Elektra, look at me! Look at my eyes! You're all right. Everything's all right. Trust me. Okay.
Bond climbs up out of the protective ball onto the surface of the snow outside. He helps Elektra out after him. In a lavish house in Baku, Bond waits with Elektra's bodyguard and Davidoff. Elektra's doctor comes down the stairs.
Some bumps and bruises, but otherwise fine. She wants to see you. Not you, Davidoff, him.
The doctor indicates Bond. Bond gets up from his chair and heads upstairs. He goes into Elektra's bedroom and finds her sitting on the side of the bed.
Are you all right?
I need to ask you something. And I want you to tell me the truth. Who is it? Who's trying to kill me?
I told you I don't know. But I'm going to find him.
Not good enough. After the kidnapping, I was afraid. I was afraid to go outside. I was afraid to be alone. I was afraid to be in a crowd. I was afraid to do anything at all. Until I realized I can't hide in the shadows. I can't let fear run my life. I won't.
After I find him, you won't have to.
Don't go. Stay with me. Please.
She looks appealingly into his eyes. Bond shuffles awkwardly.
thought it was your job to protect me.
You'll be safe here.
I don't want to be safe.
Bond narrows his eyes and studies her. She stares steadily back at him.
I'll be back soon.
He heads to the door.
And who's afraid now, Mr. Bond?
She looks confrontationally at Bond, who pauses in the doorway. He turns around and looks at her for a moment, then heads out past Gabor, who appears outside the door. That night, Bond walks into a busy casino. He stares across a roulette table. Waiters wander around, plying the gamblers with drinks and canapes. Bond dons a pair of light blue tinted glasses and looks around. The glasses are X-ray specs, and he sees a man has two revolvers holstered under his jacket. Two women over by a Wheel of Fortune are also packing automatic pistols in their garter belts. Bond smiles genially at them and makes his way over to a bar. Bond looks at a bald man leaning on the bar and sees he's carrying two pistols and a large knife under his jacket. He calls over to the man.
I want to see Valentin Sokovsky.
Impossible.
Vodka martini. Shaken, not stirred.
Bond removes his specs.
James Bond is here. Now.
The large bald man wanders over to Bond.
I don't think you heard me.
Bond shoves the man back onto the bar and grabs his knife, which he uses to pin the man's tie to the counter. As he sips his vodka martini, another man intervenes.
Mr. Sokovsky will be delighted to see you.
The new arrival has a mouthful of gold teeth.
Look after you.
No. After you. I insist.
Bond jams his Walther into the man's ribs. They go into an office where portly Zakovsky is entertaining two floozies.
Bond, James Bond! Meet Nina and Verushka.
Lose the girls, Valentin. We need to talk.
Why am I suddenly worried that I'm not carrying enough insurance? Huh? Chill out, James!
Bond holds his gun to bullion, the man with the teeth.
Fine, ladies. Go on, beat it. Scram. Bull, give them an inch.
Bullion hands the women an inch-thick wad of notes each as they leave.
Make sure they lose it in this casino, huh?
Bullion nods and sneers at Bond.
So you put your money where your mouth is.
Mr. Bullion does not trust banks. So, what would you like to talk about? I'm not sure I can really help you. I'm a legitimate businessman now. Would you care for some caviar? My own brand, Zukovsky's Finest.
Take a look at this.
He hands him a flag.
Russian Special Services. Atomic Energy Anti-Terrorist Unit. Where did you find this?
I took it off a Parahawk, which tried to kill Electric King this morning. Renard is behind this.
Zakovsky's eyes widen and he stands up.
I think you and I had better have a drink.
Bond and Zakovsky talk in a private bar. The goings-on in the casino are relayed on a monitor.
Then after Afghanistan, the KGB decided Renard was a liability and just cut him loose. Now he works freelance.
But for who?
There are four competing pipelines. I'm willing to bet half the customers in this casino would be very happy to see the King pipeline disappear.
Ha! What's funny?
Oh, nothing. It just appears Miss King does not share your concern.
She appears on the monitor walking into the casino with Gabor. Bond leaves the bar and intercepts her.
What are you doing here?
The same thing you are. Looking for the people who tried to kill me.
Let me take you home. Now.
No. I want them to see I'm not frightened.
Miss King, how very nice to see you. We have kept your father's chair free.
Free? Nothing comes free from you, Sokovsky.
Your father had a credit line with us, $1 million. I'd be happy to extend you that courtesy.
Zakovsky leads them into a private games room.
So, what's it to be? 21? Blackjack, your father's favorite?
Let's keep it simple. One card. Hydro.
She puts a banker's draft on the table.
$1 million.
Bond and Zakovsky exchange a look. Zakovsky nods.
Bury the top three cards.
Zakovsky nods to the croupier.
You're meant to protect me, aren't you?
Perhaps from yourself. You don't have to do this.
There's no point in living if you can't feel alive.
Bond eyes her darkly. The Sikh croupier deals her a card and she turns it over. It's the Queen of Hearts. Zakovsky looks over at Bond.
Queen of Hearts.
Zakovsky swallows and nods to the croupier, who deals him a card. Zakovsky picks it up in his pudgy fingers and looks at it. He looks over at Elektra and raises his eyebrows.
It appears that you have been beaten by the Ace of Clubs.
He takes the banker's draft. Bond frowns.
No hard feelings, my dear. Come again soon.
She smiles and gets up from the table. She turns to Bond.
Shall we?
Elektra. This is a game I can't afford to play.
I know.
They walk back through the casino.
What happened to Davidoff?
I gave him the night off.
In a dark forest, fires burn. Davidoff and a sidekick hustle a middle-aged man into a clearing near some rocks. Davidoff looks over at the man, then towards a cave nearby. Renard, the anarchist, emerges from the cave. He has close-cropped hair and wears a black leather jacket.
Welcome to the Devil's Breath. For thousands of years, Hindu pilgrims have journeyed to this holy place to witness the wonder of the miracle of the natural flames that never die, and to test their devotion to God by holding the scalding rocks in their hands.
He picks one up and it burns his hand.
They said their daily prayers.
He doesn't flinch.
What happened this afternoon? You promised me your best man. Mr. Arkov supplied the latest weapons.
Yes, but Bond...
Bond was unarmed.
A gun is put to Davidoff's head.
Is everything ready for tomorrow?
I have the authorization and the passes in the car. And I have arranged for a plane tonight, but...
But what?
We should scrap the rest of the mission. The Parahawks were meant to be returned. People will start asking questions, even of me, all because of his incompetence. Ah.
I see, you're right. You're right, he should be punished. Davidoff, hold this for me.
He presses a hot rock into Davidoff's hand.
It is wrong of me to expect so much of you. Kill him.
The henchman shoots Arkov.
He failed his test of devotion.
Renard takes the rock from Davidoff.
You can take his place. Take his ID. And do be on time.
Back at Elektra's house in Baku, she and Bond are in bed together. She reaches over to a bottle of Bollinger in an ice bucket beside the bed, but Bond stops her picking it up. Instead, she takes a lump of ice and runs it up the length of his arm.
Oh, poor shoulder. It looks painful.
Mm-hmm. Needs constant attention.
She runs the ice over his lips and they kiss.
I knew when I first saw you. I knew it would be like this.
She puts the ice cube in her mouth. Bond makes to take it into his mouth, but she turns away from him and crunches it. She makes to pick up another cube from the bucket, but he stops her.
Enough ash for one day.
He turns her over and they kiss passionately. Later, the ice bucket, champagne bottle and the ice all lie on the carpet along with Elektra's discarded clothes. She and Bond lie together in bed.
How did you survive?
She turns away from him and stares into the distance.
I seduced the guards. Used my body. Gave me control. And the rest, I got a gun and started shooting.
She closes her eyes and smiles, then turns to Bond.
What about you? What do you do to survive?
He stares into the distance and considers.
I take pleasure in great beauty.
They both smile, then Elektra pulls him to her and they kiss. Later that night, Elektra lies asleep in bed. Bond has gone. Outside, guards patrol the garden. Keeping a wary eye on the guards, Bond creeps up outside a security office. He takes a Visa card from his jacket pocket. He slides back one side of the card and a lock-picking tool pops out. He uses it to open the office door. Inside, Bond goes through the drawers of a desk by torchlight. As he searches, a car pulls up outside. Davidoff gets out of the car, a Larder Cossack 4x4, and walks towards the security office clutching a briefcase. He goes inside and switches the lights on. Outside, Bond sneaks round to the back of the larder and watches Davidoff adjusting his tie in the office. He then shines his torch through the back window of the larder. He opens the boot and finds something under a blanket. He pulls the blanket aside, revealing the body of Arkoff. In the security office, Davidoff takes a photo of himself with a Polaroid camera. As a guard with a dog approaches, Bond switches his torch off. Davidoff returns and gets into the larder and drives off. The larder drives through some gates onto an airfield where a plane is manoeuvring on the runway apron. Davidoff parks up by some guard dog kennels and walks round to the back of the larder. He opens the boot and removes the blanket. In place of Arkoff, Bond smiles up at him, then kicks him in the face and follows that with two bullets in the chest. Bond gets out of the car and pockets Davidoff's ID, then drags his body away. Bond tosses Davidoff's body into a skip. As he walks back to the larder, a bald man with a torch approaches him.
Let's go. It's getting late.
Bond shuts the larder's boot and walks over to the man.
What happened to Davidoff? I was told to expect him.
He was buried with work.
The man nods.
Let's go. Get your stuff.
Bond goes back to the larder and takes Davidoff's briefcase and a holdall from the passenger seat, then follows the man over to the plane.
Okay, come on. Let's get out of here.
A Russian airman calls to Bond.
Did you bring it? The grease.
Bond shakes the holdall.
Of course.
Bond unzips the holdall and the airman takes a pair of trainers from it. Some of his colleagues grin.
Excellent.
Bond's unimpressed. The next morning, the plane flies in low down an arid valley. On board, all the aircrew now sport new trainers. The bald man appears and throws Bond some blue overalls.
Get ready. We're 10 minutes out. But make sure you wear the ID.
Bond gets up and goes into the toilet. There he changes into the overalls and transplants his photo from his Universal Exports ID onto Davidoff's ID. The plane comes into land on an airstrip in Kazakhstan, Central Asia. Bond and the rest of the plane's crew travel along a dusty road in two open-top 4x4s. An explosion goes off by the side of the road. In a laboratory, an orb of plutonium is transplanted from one device into another by two scientists in radiation suits. One of them turns to the other.
I'm gonna go get some air.
The two 4x4s arrive at a camp in the desert. As they pull up, a uniformed army officer approaches them. The bald man nods to Bond, who takes the hint and gets out of the jeep. The officer shakes Bond's hand.
Welcome to Kazakhstan, Dr. Arkoff. I'm a great admirer of your research. It's not often we see someone of your stature here.
I go where the work takes me.
Oh, by the way, you have the transport documents?
Bond hands him some paperwork. The warhead is wheeled along on a trolley. The scientist gets out of her radiation suit.
I pulled the plutonium out of the one inside. You can detonate the triggers now.
Okay.
She wears shorts and a vest under her suit.
Look, our IDA physicist. Don't bother. Not interested in men. Take my word for it. This year we decommissioned 4 test sites. Not even a glimmer.
The unlikely-looking boffin sashays over to Bond.
Are you here for a reason? Or are you just hoping for a glimmer? And you are?
Mikhail Arkov, Russian Atomic Energy Department. Miss...
Dr. Jones. Christmas Jones. And don't make any jokes, I've heard them all.
I don't know any doctor jokes.
She hands back his papers.
This is okay. Take the elevator down the hall. Your friend's already down there.
Don't I get some kind of protection?
No, Dr. Arkov. Down there, it's all weapons-grade plutonium, reasonably safe. Up here, we've got hydrogen bombs that your lab built leaking tritium, which I've spent the last 6 months trying to clean up. So if you need any protection at all, it's from me.
Bond nods.
Your friends are waiting for you.
Bond smiles and heads off. As he goes, she turns after him.
Doctor!
He looks round.
Aren't you forgetting?
To wear a radiation tag.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
By the way, Zlobruskova, we ochen harosho gavariti...
She says, your English is very good for a Russian. He replies, I studied at Oxford. He smiles and pins a radiation tag to his overalls. Christmas smiles back and watches him go. Bond travels down a deep shaft in a large elevator. At the bottom of the shaft, Bond emerges into a large subterranean cavern, off which lead several large passages. Bond looks around and his eye is caught by flashes of light caused by someone using an electric arc welder at the end of one of the passages. Bond walks off down the passage towards the activity. In a pit at the far end, he finds several men working on a warhead. One of them nods to him and he waves casually back. Up above the pit, he spots Renard on a crane lift. Renard talks to his men as the crane lowers him to the ground. As Renard makes to get out of the crane, Bond shoves his Walther in his face.
Expecting Davidoff?
He caught a bullet instead of the plane.
Get off. Keep your mouth shut.
You can't kill me. I'm already dead.
Yeah. Not dead enough for me.
You could show a little gratitude. I did spare your life at the banker's office. Well, that's right. I couldn't kill you. You were working for me. You delivered the money, killed King, and now you brought me the plane.
What's your plan for the bomb?
You first. Or could it be you don't have a plan?
That bomb will never leave this room.
Neither will you.
A crane begins to lift the warhead out of the pit.
How sad. To be threatened by a man who can't grasp what he's involved in.
Revenge is not hard to fathom for a man who believes in nothing.
And what do you believe in? Preservation of capital? Go ahead, shoot me. And welcome it. My men will hear the shot and kill you.
And the firefight will bring down half the army from above.
But when a certain phone call isn't made in 20 minutes, Electra dies.
Bond presses the gun to Renard's head.
She's beautiful, isn't she? You should have had her before, when she was innocent. How does it feel to know I broke her in for you?
Bond pistol whips him.
I usually hate killing an unarmed man. Cold-blooded murder is a filthy business.
A man tires of being executed.
But in your case, I feel nothing. Just like you.
But then again, there's no point living if you can't feel alive.
Huh?
Bond frowns. Christmas and the officer appear.
Drop the gun!
Keep away, Colonel!
He's an imposter! Dr. Arkov is 63 years old!
This is your imposter. Along with the man outside on the plane. They're stealing the bomb.
The Colonel cocks a Kalashnikov. The colonel and a couple of soldiers now train their guns on Bond. Reluctantly, he drops his pistol and raises his hands. Renard gets to his feet.
On your knees!
One of Renard's men takes a chip from the bomb.
He would have killed us all. Did you speak to him?
Yeah, but he's no atomic scientist.
I suppose you were the one who allowed him down.
Renard roughly shoves a picture of Arkoff at the colonel, who looks uncomfortable. One of Renard's men pockets the microchip from the bomb. To Bond...
You had me. But I knew you couldn't shoulder the responsibility.
He squeezes Bond's bad shoulder, making him wince.
Now, without any further interruptions, let's proceed.
Yet, there are too many new faces around here, including yours. The bomb doesn't move until I am satisfied. Hey, all of you, to the service, now! Goodbye, goodbye!
As the colonel attempts to take charge of the situation, Renard nods to his men. They break out machine guns and open fire, gunning the soldiers down. Bond floors one of the soldiers and retrieves his pistol. He grabs Christmas by the hand and they jump into the pit as Renard's men kill the soldiers. Bond shoots one of Renard's men. Renard moves the bomb up the passage. As Bond and Christmas hide in the pit, one of Renard's men closes the blast doors.
They're sealing us in.
The doors to the passages are sealed off.
I work for the British government.
Bond stands in the middle of the pit and takes his watch off.
Stay calm.
He twists the bezel on his watch and a small grappling hook pops out. He aims the watch at the roof and it launches the grappling hook on a thin wire which sticks into a beam. The watch then lifts Bond up out of the pit. As the last doors to the chamber close, Bond runs and leaps through them. They shut behind him. He opens fire on Renard and his men who are pushing the bomb along on a block and tackle suspended from the roof. They retaliate and Bond shelters behind a trailer on a narrow gauge railway in the floor of the passage. He pushes the trailer towards them, using it as cover. As he passes a fallen man, he removes the bomb microchip from the man's pocket. Christmas climbs up out of the pit on a scaffold structure. One of Bond's bullets clips Renard's sleeve. Another hits one of his men pushing the bomb. Renard finishes the man off and takes his place. Christmas looks at the sabotaged wiring on the door control panel, then notices a portable generator nearby. In the passage, one of Renard's men tries to close a door, cutting them off from Bond. Bond pushes the trailer through the door, jamming it open. He then shelters behind the half-open door. Christmas runs a wire from the control panel to the generator. As the door continues to close, it crushes the trailer. Before it gives way, Bond runs across it, both guns blazing, and dashes through the shrinking aperture. Renard lowers the bomb off the block and tackle onto a trolley. Christmas connects the wire from the control panel to the generator, and the panel flickers back to life. As Bond shoots the last of Renard's men, Renard gets into the lift with the bomb and closes the door. Bond shoots at him, but the glass in the lift door is bulletproof.
Hard feelings, Mr. Bond. But we're even. Soon, you'll feel nothing at all.
As the lift rises up, Bond sees Reynard pointing. He looks down and sees the lift's departure has triggered the countdown on an incendiary bomb by his feet. Christmas reopens the doors to the passage. Bond runs and grabs hold of the block and tackle lines Reynard had moved the bomb up the passage with. The bomb detonates as he slides back down the passage, a ball of fire lapping at his heels. The blast doors close just behind Bond, but the fireball has set light to the back of his overalls and some oil drums by the door. He rolls around on the floor to put himself out, then turns to Christmas. Outside, Renard and his men from the plane make their escape with a bomb in an open-top truck. They spray the soldiers outside with machine gun fire as they go. A fierce fire is now raging in the room Bond and Christmas are in. They climb up to an emergency lift as the blaze licks around them.
Keep going! Move! Hang on!
So you're a British spy. Do you have a name?
My name's Bond.
The rocket-powered lift hurtles up a shaft away from the fire. The lift stops at a platform a little way from the end of the shaft. They climb the rest of the way on a hand ladder. A huge fireball billows up the tunnel behind them. They emerge into the daylight and the explosion rips the top of the shaft apart just behind them. They look over to the camp nearby and see it being evacuated. Suddenly, a series of powerful explosions erupt from the ground beneath it, tearing it apart. Renard's plane flies past.
They won't get very far. Every warhead has a locator card. We can track the signal.
You mean one of these?
Bond holds up the microchip from the bomb. In Scotland...
We have the range of Renard's plane.
Anywhere in this circle, Russia, Armenia, Iran, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan...
I'm sorry to interrupt. Electra King is calling from Baku. It's on the video line. Put her on the wall screen.
Moneypenny obliges and Electra appears on the screen.
I'm sorry, I would never call you except... James has disappeared. He left my villa in the middle of the night and... My head of security has been found near your local airstrip. Murdered.
I'll send someone out.
Could you come? I can't help thinking... I'm next.
M turns to Tanner.
Get me out there.
No, listen.
Just get me out there.
In the bedroom of her mansion in Baku, Electra closes the video link on her laptop. Hearing a noise, she looks round.
Gabor?
She gets up and goes into the next room. She finds Bond with her bodyguard, Gabor, unconscious at his feet.
James?
Surprised?
What are you doing? What's wrong with you? Are you crazy?
Maybe. Maybe I should ask you. After all... There's no point in living if you can't feel alive. Isn't that right, Electra? Isn't that your motto?
What are you talking about?
Or did you steal it from your old friend, Renard?
What?
He and I had a little chat this morning. Knew all about us, knew about my shoulder, knew exactly where to hurt me.
Are you saying Renard is the man who's trying to kill me?
Drop the act. It's over.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I think you do. It's called Stockholm Syndrome. Common in kidnappings. Young, impressionable victim. Sheltered. Sexually inexperienced. A powerful kidnapper. Skilled in torture, manipulation. Something snaps in the victim's mind. The captive falls in love with her captor.
How dare you! How dare you! That animal, that monster! He disgusts me. You disgust me. So he knew where to hurt you, is that it? You had a sling on your arm at the funeral, and I didn't have to sleep with you to find that out.
He used your exact words.
So you knew. You knew all the time that he was out there, that he was coming for me, and you lied. You used me. You used me as bait.
Bond begins to look uncomfortable.
You made love to me. What? Pass the time as you waited for him to strike.
She haughtily turns away from him and answers the phone.
Hello. He struck again. 10 men are dead at the pipeline.
I'm coming with you.
You do what you want to do. But I've called M. She's coming to take charge.
M's helicopter arrives at an industrial plant. Christmas is outside going through some paperwork with another man. Inside the plant, Electra is talking to a soldier when she sees M come in with Charles Robinson and Bond.
Oh, no.
M nods to Electra and flashes her a smile. Then she and Bond go through into an office.
I want an update. Where do we stand?
One of Renard's men removed the locator card from the bomb, so we can't track it. But
what?
With all due respect,
I don't think you should be here.
May I remind you that you're the reason I'm here, 007? You disobeyed a direct order and left that girl alone.
Well, perhaps that girl isn't as innocent as you think.
What are you saying?
Suppose the inside man, the one who switched King's lapel pin, turned out to be an inside woman.
M looks aghast.
She kills her father and attacks her own pipeline? Why, to what end?
I don't know. Yet.
They go out of the office. A digital map on the wall displays a warning sign.
Look at that. That's not right.
What is it?
An observation ring. Travels inside the pipe, looking for cracks.
Shut it down.
A technician shakes his head.
I don't understand. It won't respond.
The place is clean. No sign of the bomb.
The bomb is in the pipeline.
Oh, my God.
They must have brought it through here. That would explain the attack.
Heading for the oil terminal.
We would do the most damage. Have your men evacuate that terminal.
Elektra steps up to Bond. Believe me. He doesn't look convinced.
This is an emergency situation, so please, clear the room. Do it.
He's going for the oil.
Of course. The one pipeline the West is counting on to supply our reserves for the next century. Do you have an idea?
Maybe.
To the technician.
From the terminal. And how fast is it travelling?
It's 106 miles from the terminal, going 70 miles an hour.
We've got 78 minutes. Do you have another rig?
There's one parked in the passageway ahead of it.
Charles, can you get me out there?
Of course.
Christmas turns to him.
Are you going to do what I think you're going
to
do?
What do I need to defuse a nuclear bomb?
Me.
Christmas, Bond and Charles fly in a helicopter. Below them, the pipeline stretches through mountainous terrain.
There it is. Hatch to the passageway.
Bond opens the hatch in the pipe to reveal an observation rig.
We keep the speed up so the other rig catches up with us.
I'll be waiting to hear from you.
Gotcha. You know how to drive one of these things?
Doesn't exactly take a degree in nuclear physics.
Christmas drives the rig while Bond sits in the back. In the control room, the technician turns to M and Elektra.
They're in the pipeline. They're on their move.
The digital map on the wall shows their position and that of the rig carrying the bomb. At the controls of the rig, Christmas prods a few buttons and their speed increases to 35 miles an hour. Bond checks his watch.
Faster!
She accelerates up past 45 miles an hour. In the control room, the digital map shows the bombs closing in on them.
There's even the slightest chance Bond will succeed. He's the best we have. Although I'd never tell him.
I hope you're right.
Bond looks behind them and sees the bomb approaching. The bomb's rig closes the gap between them.
It's closing up! Faster!
They're now hurtling along up the pipe at over 65 miles an hour.
Sit tight!
As the bomb rig comes right up behind them, Bond cushions the impact between it and them with his feet, then climbs across onto the bomb rig. He then helps Christmas over onto the bomb rig and wrestles with the controls.
No brakes! The controls are jammed!
Christmas looks round in alarm. The map in the control room charts the rig's progress as they hurtle along the pipeline. Christmas uses a handheld computer as she works on the bomb.
It's a tactical fission device. Low yield. Hold me steady.
You've defused hundreds of these, right?
Yeah, but they're usually standing still.
Yeah, well, life's full of small challenges. Have a look at this. Someone stripped the screw heads.
Someone's tampered with the bomb.
The rigs speed on down the pipeline. In the control room, Elektra walks behind M, who's watching the map intently and goes over to her bodyguard, Gabor. She gives him a knowing look. As the bomb's countdown clock counts past 40 seconds, Christmas removes the plutonium core. Half of it has gone.
Look! Half the plutonium's missing!
So what are you saying? It couldn't go nuclear?
There's still enough explosive in there to kill both of us if the trigger charge goes off.
Let it blow!
But I can stop
it! Let it blow!
He uses a knife to slow them down by sticking it into the pipeline wall.
Trust me, leave it!
10 seconds to detonation.
Move down! Move down! Jump! Come on, jump!
Having slowed them down a bit, Bond and Christmas jump off the rig and bounce along in the pipeline until they come to a halt. Bond covers Christmas with his body as the bomb goes off. The rigs disappear off the digital map.
It doesn't read like a nuclear explosion.
Robinson's reporting. The bomb was a dud. But the triggering charge blew out a 50-yard section of the pipe.
And Bond?
Nothing.
I'm so sorry.
M turns to Electra.
But I have a gift for you. Something that belonged to my father. He would have wanted you to have it.
Perhaps this isn't the time.
Please. He often spoke of how compassionately you advised him on the best course of action during my kidnapping.
M opens a box containing Sir Robert's lapel pin.
It's very valuable, you know. I just couldn't let it explode with the rest of him.
Her men shoot M's agents.
I was very upset when the money didn't kill both of you. I didn't think I'd get another chance. Then you dropped the answer right in my lap. Bond. And as you say, he's the best you have. Or should I say, had.
Furious, M slaps her across the cheek.
Take her to the helicopter.
Gabor takes M away. Bond jumps out of one end of the broken oil pipeline.
Come on, give me your hand.
Jump.
Do you want to explain why you did that? I could have stopped that bomb. You almost killed us.
I did kill us. She thinks we're dead, and she thinks she got away with it.
Do you want to put that in English for those of us who don't speak spy? Who's she?
Electra King.
Well, why would she blow up her own pipeline?
It makes her look innocent. The explosion covers up the theft of the plutonium. And they make it look like a terrorist attack.
But why leave this half?
So there's enough to spread around to cover up for the part that they did take.
But what are they going to do with the other half? It's not enough to make a nuclear bomb.
But you're the scientist, you tell me.
I don't know. But the world's greatest terrorist running around with 6 kilos of weapons-grade plutonium can't be good. I have to get it back, or somebody's gonna have my ass.
Bond gives her a look.
First things first.
He gets on his radio.
Bond to Robinson, do you copy?
By the way, before we go any further, I just want to know, what's the story with you and Electra?
We're strictly plutonic. Now, Bond to Robinson, copy. What's your story? What are you doing here in Kazakhstan?
Avoiding those kind of questions, just like you.
I read you, 007. Red alert. M is missing with Electra. 3 men down. Await instructions. Out.
What do we do now?
There's one critical element here I may have overlooked.
What, more plutonium?
No. Beluga. Caviar.
Istanbul, Turkey. A motorboat speeds across the harbour towards an old lighthouse at dusk. Inside the lighthouse, Electra trots over to the window and looks out. She sees Renard and his men getting off the motorboat at a small jetty. Smiling happily, she runs into the hall as Renard comes through the front door. They fall into each other's arms.
Brought me something?
One of Renard's men brings over a yellow box. He opens it, revealing the missing plutonium.
Reshape the world.
He holds the half-sphere of metal in his hand.
It's safe. Touch your destiny.
Electra takes the plutonium and caresses it. She smiles and then hands it back to Renard's henchman.
I've brought something for you as well.
She leads Renard away to where M is languishing behind bars. She looks up as they come in.
Your present. Courtesy of the late Mr. Bond.
My executioner.
Overpraise, I'm afraid. But my people will finish the job.
Your people? Your people will leave you here to rot. Just like you left me. You and my father.
Your father
wasn't... My father was nothing. His kingdom he stole from my mother. The kingdom I will rightly take back.
Having set those points straight for M, Elektra goes. M turns to Renard.
I hope you're proud of what you did to her.
I'm afraid it is you who deserve credit. When I took her, she was promise itself. And you left her at the mercy of a man like me. You ruined her. For what? To get to me. She's worth 50 of me.
For once, I agree with you.
Yes. And now we also share a common fate. You will die, along with everyone in the city. In the bright, starry, oil-driven future of the West.
He picks a clock up off a table.
Since you sent your man to kill me, I've been watching time tick slowly away, marching toward my own death. Now you can have the same pleasure.
He sets the clock on a stool facing M. It's 8 o'clock.
Watch these hands, M. By noon tomorrow, your time is up. And I guarantee you, I will not miss.
He heads out of the room without a backward glance. M paces around her cell, deep in thought. She puts her hand in her trouser pocket and finds the bomb locator card 007 gave her. She looks over at the clock beyond the bars, an idea forming in her mind. Elektra and Renard lie on a bed together. He caresses her skin.
So beautiful. So smooth. So warm.
How would you know?
Stung by her comment, Renard turns away from her.
Why are you like this? Because Bond is dead. It's what you wanted.
Of course it's what I wanted.
He gets up and paces to the window.
He was a good lover.
What do you think? I wouldn't feel anything.
Renard smashes his fist through a chest. Concerned, Elektra sits up. Slowly, he withdraws his fist from the broken chest. His knuckles are grazed, and he watches the blood trickle down his hand.
I feel nothing.
Elektra gets up off the bed and picks a lump of ice up out of an ice bucket. She goes over to him and pulls a large splinter out of his hand, then presses the piece of ice to the wound.
What about this?
He shakes his head. He pushes her back onto the bed and she reclines back onto it. She runs the piece of ice along the bridge of her nose.
But surely you can feel this.
She rolls the ice down over her chin and past her cleavage. She takes Renard's hand and directs it down south. In her cell, M pokes a broom handle through the bars and tries to drag the stool with a clock on it towards her. She jolts the stool and it topples over, the clock falling out of reach. M rolls her eyes. As the sun sets over the Caspian Sea, a white Rolls-Royce drives along an extensive system of piers and jetties built out into the water. It's dark by the time the Rolls pulls up outside a rickety warehouse on one of the piers. Zakovsky gets out of the roller accompanied by several henchmen. Bullion stays in the car.
Wait here. Always something. First the casino, now the caviar factory. I'm a slave to the free market economy.
Clutching a walking stick, he goes up some steps to the warehouse. Bullion looks out of the car window and spots Bond's BMW Z8 parked nearby. He rings Elektra on his mobile.
Hello.
She turns to Renard.
Bond is alive.
She dials another number. Zakovsky straightens a picture.
There's nothing in this place straight.
He walks into an office and finds Christmas in a figure-hugging dress.
Who are you? And how did you get in? I'll call security and congratulate them.
Drink?
Bond appears holding the caretaker at gunpoint.
Can't you just say hello like a normal person?
Get lost. No. Down the back.
The caretaker goes.
What's your business with Electra King?
I thought you were the one giving her the business.
She drops $1 million in your casino and you don't even blink an eye. What's she paying you off for?
You know, if I were you, a relationship with a man like that, I wouldn't bet on it.
Bond shoves Zakovsky against the wall.
That's nothing compared to what a 20 megaton nuclear bomb can do.
What are you talking about?
We had a nuclear bomb stolen this morning.
Renard and Electric King are working together.
I didn't know.
Well, what do you know?
A couple of Electra's timber-cutting helicopters have converged on the warehouse. The circular saw cutting gear scythes through the side of the building, slicing it open. As the first chopper passes, Bond steps outside and blasts at the second with his pistol. A man on board the chopper shoots back with a machine gun. Bond jumps down in front of the Rolls-Royce and looks over to his BMW. He leaps down a flight of steps and starts to run towards it, but the chopper fires a rocket-propelled grenade at the walkway, blowing it up ahead of Bond. Bond is forced to rethink and take a different route to get to his car. As Bond runs along a walkway under some pipework, the chopper passes above him, its circular saws slicing through the pipes. Once the chopper is passed, Bond runs on. Some gas escaping from the pipes explodes. Bond crouches down and uses a remote control unit to start his car's engine. The car engages first gear and rolls forwards. Bond runs up some steps and goes to meet it. He gets in and backs the car up. As he does so, he opens a weapons control system concealed in the steering wheel. One of the helicopters approaches from up in front of the car. He comes to a halt and the weapon controller flashes up target acquired. Bond presses a button and a rocket launcher pops out of an air vent on the side of the car. He presses another button and the rocket is launched. It blows the chopper to smithereens. Bond smiles in satisfaction, but his moment of victory is short-lived. The second chopper sweeps in behind the BMW and starts to saw it in half. Bond hops out of the car and starts shooting at the chopper, which finishes off slicing the car in half.
Q's not gonna like this.
The car collapses in front of Bond. Seeing he's okay, Zakovsky smiles. The helicopter turns round for another pass. Seeing it coming, Bond runs for it down the jetty. The chopper's saws tearing up the jetty just behind him. Bond sprints on and dodges to the left. The chopper and its whirling blades carry on past him. They slice back through the warehouse where Christmas and Zakovsky dodge out of their way. As the warehouse collapses around them, they hurry towards Zakovsky's Rolls. Bullion has abandoned it and cowers in a hiding place nearby. Bond watches as the armed men on board the chopper jump down from it and come after him. He grabs a crowbar from a hook on a wall and uses it to slide down a cable as if it were a zip line and get into another walkway. On the way to the Rolls, Christmas and Zakovsky get stuck in a building as Elektra's men come in. Zakovsky fires at them with his pistol. The chopper launches a rocket-propelled grenade at Bond. As it explodes, he leaps down to a lower walkway. One of Zakovsky's men comes into the building and keeps Elektra's men at bay so that his boss and Christmas can get away. Bond arrives and joins the firefight. He quickly guns one man down. Christmas and Zakovsky run out of the building. Bond shields his eyes as the chopper's saws cut through the roof above him. Zakovsky gets in the driver's seat of the Rolls with Christmas beside him. As he backs the car up, he doesn't realise the chopper has sliced through the jetty behind him. The car crashes through the aperture and falls backwards into the water. In the building, Bond guns down a couple more of Elektra's men. He looks outside and sees a man in the chopper spray bullets at Christmas and Zakovsky as they swim in the water. Bond opens a gas valve in a pipe underneath the chopper. He then gets a flare gun off a hook on the wall and fires it at the escaping gas. It ignites it and the chopper is engulfed in a ball of flames. Zakovsky has just climbed out of the water and sees the chopper's saw blades being thrown through the air towards him by the explosion. As he flees from them, he dashes into a building and falls into a large vat of caviar. Loosening his tie, Bond strolls over to the floundering Russian.
Help!
Now, where were we?
A rope, please!
No, the truth. She has M.
I know nothing about that.
Those blades were meant for you. What does Elektra King want you dead for?
It was you who destroyed my factory! Then you drowned my Rolls Royce, and now you're trying to drown me in my own carrier! Let me out!
Oh. Too bad we don't have any champagne.
Or sour cream.
Okay. Occasionally, I get equipment for her, machinery, you know, Russian stuff.
And the payoff in the casino?
It was a special job. My nephew is in the Navy. He's smuggling some machinery for her.
Where?
Absolutely not.
Where?
Bond holds Zakovsky's walking stick just out of its owner's grasp.
Istanbul!
Bond lets Zakovsky grab hold of the stick. Bullion comes in and Bond spins round, gun at the ready. Bullion raises his hands.
You! Where have you been, you gold-encrusted buffoon?
Sorry, boss. I must have bumped my head.
Oh, really? Get me out of here. I'll show you what that bumped head feels like. Look! We have no roof, but at least we have four good walls.
Sensing disaster, Bond and Christmas run out of the building. The entire structure collapses around Bullion and Zakovsky. The next morning, the grey light of dawn creeps across the Istanbul harbour. Renard walks out onto a balcony at the old lighthouse. He looks through a pair of binoculars and watches a large container ship coming into port. An underwater view shows the ship's barnacled hull cutting through the water beneath its swirling bow wave. A little way beneath the ship lurks a submarine. Renard stares at the water, then walks back inside. The U-boat surfaces in a secret submarine pen beneath the lighthouse. In Istanbul itself, Christmas, Zakovsky, Bond and Bullion are in a large warehouse-style building.
This used to be the KGB's Istanbul safe house. Now it's FSB, Federal Security Bureau. Same old friendly service with a new name. Did you raise the alarm?
Yet, nothing.
Try scanning the emergency frequencies.
Zakovsky goes over to a map.
You know, in the old days, there were at least 100 places where a submarine could surface undetected.
Submarine? What class is your nephew running?
Sure. Victor 3, you call it.
Nuclear. He's not loading cargo. They want the sub. They want to use the reactor.
That's it. Put weapons-grade plutonium in that sub's reactor. Instant, catastrophic meltdown.
Making it all look just like an accident.
But why?
Because the existing pipelines from the Caspian Sea go to the north. Here. But the oil is put on board the tankers, shipped across the Black Sea down to Istanbul. The explosion would destroy Istanbul, contaminating the Bosphorus for decades. And there'd be only one way to get the oil out.
Yeah, down south, to the Med. The King Pipeline.
Elektra's pipeline.
We must find Nikolai.
Renard already has. In the submarine pen.
Ready to load your cargo. We have only a few hours before we'll be missed.
You came with skeleton crew.
That's all we can afford these days.
Of course. Some brandy and refreshments for your men.
Thank you.
Elektra and Gabor check on M in her cell.
Good morning.
M glares at Elektra, who makes to go.
What's the time?
M nods at the clock lying on the floor. Elektra turns and picks it up. She balances it on one of the crossbars of M's cell. It's 6:30.
It's time for you to die.
Leaving M with this cheery thought, Elektra and Gabor head out. As soon as they're gone, M picks the clock up and removes the battery. She then connects it to the bomb's locator card, which immediately starts transmitting. A technician in the FSB safehouse picks up the locator card's signal.
Got something. On the emergency frequency. Two six-digit numbers. Cycled every 15 seconds.
A GPS signal. Position coordinates.
Locator card.
M.
Bond checks the coordinates on a map.
Here.
Yeah. Maiden's Tower.
Have you been there?
No. Mr. Bullion!
Bullion hurries out, having left a case behind.
Come on.
Zakovsky is unconscious. Bond and Christmas run out after Bullion. They see him round a corner. As they come round the corner, they run straight into Gabor and some heavily armed men. Bullion steps forward and takes Bond's gun.
After you. I insist.
Bond and Christmas are taken to the lighthouse, Maiden's Tower, in a motorboat. On board the submarine, the Russian crew have all been poisoned. Renard wallops one of the unconscious men.
Enjoyed your meal, boys.
Some of Renard's men accompany him as he looks round the sub.
Take them up and throw them in the sea.
Renard takes Captain Nikolai's hat. Two of his men, one of them carrying the plutonium from the bomb, follow Renard into the next room.
The extruder's in here. It will take me half an hour to set up the machine to make the plutonium rod.
Renard nods. Elektra watches as Bond and Christmas are taken off the motorboat. She turns to a henchman.
Come in here.
Gabor and another man march Bond into the building. Elektra walks into the submarine pen beneath the building. Renard comes down the gangplank to meet her.
Reactor is secured. Everything is complete as planned. Is your helicopter ready?
It's going to pick me up in half an hour.
He takes her to one side.
And this is the end?
No. This is the beginning. The world will never be the same.
He looks at her and frowns. Elektra leans forwards and kisses him on the lips. He struggles to return the kiss, but can't raise any passion. Elektra breaks off and forces a smile.
Future is yours. Have fun with it.
Gabor holds Bond.
James Bond.
As Gabor and another man hold Bond, a third man restrains Christmas. Elektra walks over and kisses Bond.
If only you'd kept away, we might have met again in a few years and become lovers once more.
He gives her a dirty look. Elektra walks away and goes over to the man holding Christmas.
Take it to Renard.
The man hustles her out.
Pretty thing. You had her too?
Holding Nikolai's hat, she turns back to Bond.
I could have given you the world.
The world is not enough.
Foolish sentiment.
Family motto.
They were digging near here and found some very pretty vases. They also found this chair.
It's a sort of torture device. Gabor and the other man take Bond over to it and strap him to it with wrist and neck restraints. Elektra closes the neck restraint.
I think we ignore the old ways at our peril, don't you?
Where's Em?
Soon she'll be everywhere.
All this? Because you fell for Renan?
She turns a wheel on the back of the chair.
5 more turns and your neck will break.
A brass peg presses into the back of Bond's neck.
Over man. When I realized my father wouldn't rescue me from the kidnappers, I knew I had to form another alliance.
You turned Renard.
Just like you. Only you were even easier.
She looks into his eyes.
I told him he had to hurt me. He had to make it look real. When he refused, I told him I would do it myself.
She takes an earring off to show Bond her torn right earlobe.
You killed your father.
He killed me. He killed me the day he refused to pay my ransom.
Was this all about the oil?
She turns the wheel.
Mine and my family's. It runs in my veins, thicker than blood. I'm going to redraw the map. And when I'm through, the whole world will know my name, my grandfather's name, the glory of my people.
No one will believe this meltdown was an accident.
Ha! They will believe. They will all believe. You understand? Nobody can resist me.
She eyes him seductively, then sits astride him.
You know what happens when a man is strangled?
Electra, it's not too late. 8 million people need not die.
You should have killed me when you had the chance. But you couldn't. Not me, not a woman you've loved.
She plants a lingering kiss on his lips.
You meant nothing to me.
She turns the wheel, advancing the peg, and smiles into his face.
Last screw.
Oh, Jack.
Hearing the commotion, Elektra gets off Bond and looks out the window. She sees Zakovsky and some of his men coming ashore. As one of her men goes to the front door, a hail of bullets flies in, killing him. Zakovsky marches in and blasts another man. Then he spots Bullion.
Boss, you're alive. So glad to see you.
Me too.
He kills Bullion, then marches in to join Bond and Elektra.
I'm looking for a submarine. It's big and black, and the driver is a very good friend of mine.
He spots Nikolai's hat, under which Elektra has hidden a gun.
Bring it to me.
What a shame. He's just gone.
She fires two shots with the gun concealed behind the hat, dropping Zakovsky. Elektra kicks the gun away from him and gives a triumphant smile to Bond. As she walks away, Zakovsky picks up his walking stick, which has a gun hidden within it. He pulls back the hammer and the trigger pops out. Elektra looks round and sees him aiming the weapon at her. She raises her hands, then looks surprised as Zakovsky aims the weapon at Bond. Bond grimaces as Zakovsky takes a careful aim and fires. The shot pops open the brass restraint holding his right arm. Zakovsky drops the gun and gives Bond a knowing smile before collapsing.
Zakovsky really hated you.
Into her radio.
Everything's under control up here. Are you ready?
Yes. Au revoir.
Elektra walks over to Bond.
Time to say goodnight.
She steps forward to turn the wheel and break his neck. As she does so, Bond grabs her gun arm with his now free right hand and kicks her back. She drops the gun and Bond undoes his bindings. He grabs her gun off the floor and shoots Gabor as he comes through the door. Elektra flees up the stairs into the tower. Bond picks her walkie-talkie up and goes after her up the spiral staircase. She sees him and shouts down to him.
James! You can't kill me! Not in cold blood!
She smiles and runs on. Bond hurries after her.
Bond!
Hearing M calling, Bond diverts into the room she's being held in. He shoots the lock off the cell door, then hurries on up the stairs after Elektra. He finds her in what used to be the old lamp room of the lighthouse, but is now a bedroom. He keeps his gun trained on her and hands Elektra the walkie-talkie.
Call him off.
She takes the walkie-talkie and smiles at Bond.
I won't ask again. Call him off.
She smiles. Elektra jumps and talks into the walkie-talkie.
Bernard?
She and Bond eye each other intensely.
You wouldn't kill me. You'd miss me.
Yes.
Dive, Bond!
Bond guns her down and she flops back onto the bed. M comes up the stairs. He walks over to the bed. M watches sympathetically as he bends over the body and gently brushes some hair away from its face. Bond turns away from the corpse and steps out onto the balcony. The submarine is in the water below. Bond climbs up onto the balcony and puts the pistol in his belt, then takes his jacket off. As the U-boat begins to submerge, Bond dives off the balcony into the water. He surfaces and swims over to the submarine as it dives. He gets hold of some handholds on the side of the conning tower and climbs up them. One of Renard's men is about to fasten the hatch from the inside, but Bond wrenches it open and kicks the man in the face, knocking him out. Bond then hurries inside. A bald man walks along a corridor, lighting a cigarette, and looks startled when Bond shoves his gun in his face.
Where is she?
Elsewhere in the boat, Renard watches as one of the men uses the plutonium from the bomb to manufacture a new fuel rod. In the brig, Christmas hears a banging on her cell door. Suddenly it opens, revealing Bond holding the now unconscious bald man in a headlock.
James!
I thought I'd forgotten you, eh?
He drops the hapless baldy and takes her hand. They head off down the corridor. Renard watches as the new blue glowing fuel rod is extruded out of a machine into a pipe. He smiles with satisfaction. The machine has a radioactive warning symbol on it. Gun at the ready, Bond creeps along a corridor with Christmas just behind him. They look through a window into the bridge. Renard is overseeing his men as they pilot the submarine.
Level at 100 feet. Hold her steady.
Bond watches as Renard goes and the man at the helm nods and sets the depth. Another of the men pulls some levers on the wall, discharging some of the ballast tanks. Outside in the water, air bubbles rise from the ballast vent.
If we can force them up to the surface, they'll show up on the spy satellite. Bring out the Navy.
Bond indicates for Christmas to stand back, then bursts into the room. He smashes the man at the ballast controls into the instruments and points his pistol at the others. Bond pulls back two of the ballast control levers, discharging more air. The sub's nose begins to point down into the water. In the fuel rod manufacturing room, Renard becomes aware the submarine is listing and runs back to the bridge. Bond grabs one of the men and uses him as a shield as the others and Renard open fire. Bond shoots back and the body of the man he's holding takes the incoming rounds. He backs out of the room.
Get us level!
In the corridor,
slight miscalculation.
The submarine is now in a headlong nosedive to the bottom. The corridor has now become a shaft, and Christmas dangles from the side of it a little way above Bond.
Hold on! Come on, hold on, hold on!
Bond stretches a cargo net across the corridor to prevent him from falling any further down it. Renard clambers up the room where the fuel rod was made. On the bridge, one of the men loses his grip and falls. As he does so, he hits the throttle control, accelerating the boat. As the sub speeds to the seabed, everyone hangs onto the floors and walls. As it impacts, Christmas loses her grip and falls down to Bond and the cargo net. On the bridge, the men are all thrown to one end of the room. Renard loses his grip and falls halfway down the room he's in. He grabs hold of some rails and starts climbing back up. The impact ruptures the torpedo bay, and water starts to flood in. Christmas sees the water gushing into the corridor below.
Get up to the hatch!
Reynard climbs on towards the new weapons-grade fuel rod. Bond opens the hatch ahead of him and Christmas.
Come on!
They scramble into the next room, water gushing in behind them. Renard gets to the fuel rod and removes it from the machine. Bond manages to force the hatch shut, stemming the flow of water into the room. Renard climbs on with the fuel rod and opens the door to the sub's reactor room. Christmas looks at an electronic display of the boat on one wall.
He's opened up the reactor! And locked himself in!
I have to get up there to him! We've got one chance! I'll get out of the submarine and back in through the reactor room escape hatch!
He presses a button opening the escape hatch.
Press this button so I can get back in!
James, it's too risky!
If I don't make it, use this chamber to get out. Close the hatch. Be sure to exhale all the way up. Close it!
He climbs into a venting chamber and Christmas closes the hatch behind him. In the reactor room, Reynard opens the reactor core, displaying the glowing fuel rods inside. Bond takes the last few breaths as the venting chamber he's in floods with water. Once it's completely flooded, he swims up to the exterior hatch and opens it. Christmas looks round when she hears the hatch to the room she's in burst open. She sees the room is beginning to flood. Bond swims out of the hatch and swims along the outside of the submarine. The water in the room rises up past Christmas. She takes a breath and ducks under to see if the reactor room escape hatch light has gone red yet. It hasn't. So she swims back to the surface to catch her breath. Bond swims on up the length of the submarine to the reactor room escape hatch. Christmas ducks back under the water and sees the light is still green. As Bond swims into the flooded escape hatch, he turns and fastens the door behind him. A sudden gush of water pushes Christmas away from the control button. In the flooded chamber, Bond checks his watch. Christmas takes another breath and dives down into the swirling water. In the chamber, Bond begins to suffocate. Christmas sees the light has gone red and presses the button. The chamber begins to empty and Bond gulps in air. Christmas swims up through the rising water, which is carrying her to the far end of the room. Bond opens the hatch into the reactor room. He looks down and sees Renard removing the new fuel rod from its case. As Renard begins to insert the fuel rod into the reactor, Bond jumps down and kicks him, making him drop the fuel rod. He then gets Renard in a headlock. As he does so, he looks down and sees Christmas being pressed against the door below by the rising water. Bond elbows Renard hard in the neck and kicks him down the room, then jumps down himself and opens the door to let Christmas in. He pulls her in and refastens the door.
We're safe from the radiation! As long as the reactor coolant doesn't burst! If he had gotten the plutonium rod in the reactor, we could have written out the whole city! James!
Renard gets up and wallops Bond.
Welcome to my nuclear family.
Standing on some poles around the reactor, Renard starts to insert the fuel rod. Bond jumps up and kicks and punches him away. He then starts to withdraw the fuel rod. As Renard gets up, Christmas goes to stop him, but he thumps her away. He then lands a series of kicks and punches on Bond, who drops the fuel rod. The two men grapple hand to hand.
Are you really going to commit suicide for her?
You forget. I'm already dead.
Haven't you heard?
So is she.
Renard stares at him in disbelief.
You're lying.
He lashes out in a frenzy. He repeatedly kicks Bond, who falls through a metal grill. Snarling, Renard slams the grill over the top of Bond. As Bond gets his breath back, Renard picks up the fuel rod once again and climbs back up to the reactor. He He begins to reinsert the rod into the centre of the reactor. As he does so, the needle of a dial on the wall begins to creep round to the red. As he pushes the rod in further, an airline, which delivers compressed air to eject the fuel rods, becomes disconnected. Bond spots it, and as the dial on the wall heads into the red, Bond gets up and grabs the airline. The needle on the dial goes into the red, warning the reactor is about to go critical. Bond climbs up to the air hose's socket and reconnects it, just as Renard finishes inserting the fuel rod. Bond presses a button to eject the fuel rod from the reactor. Renard looks over at Bond, who nods.
She's waiting for you!
Bond pulls a lever and the fuel rod is ejected with such force it runs Renard through. Still smiling, he looks over at Bond, then collapses and falls beside Christmas. The needle on the dial falls back out of the red, and Christmas gets to her feet.
The hydrogen gas level's too high! One spark and the reactor will blow! I have to stop it!
Bond goes down to the door and starts to open it.
Don't tell the submarine! I'll meet you in the torpedo bay! Go!
As he opens the door, the water pours in. He climbs up after Christmas.
The reactor is flooded! So it's safe, even if this place blows!
They climb into one of the rearward torpedo tubes, Bond hitting the launch button as he goes. The hatch closes behind him. He and Christmas are fired out of the torpedo tube and start swimming towards the surface. Something short-circuits on the submarine and a huge explosion shatters its hull. As the sub disintegrates, Bond and Christmas get to the surface.
Hey!
They wave to a boat. The people on the boat wave back at them. At MI6's Scottish HQ...
No, it's simply not the case. No, before that.
M and Charles come in. Tanner and R look round at her.
Any word?
No, still no contact.
It's evening as Bond and Christmas sit on a balcony sipping champagne.
I wanted to have Christmas in Turkey.
Fireworks fill the sky behind them.
Christmas joke?
For me? No. Never.
So isn't it time you unwrapped your present?
Oh, I think so.
They kiss. Back at MI6, Tanner points to a satellite image.
What's that?
The car.
So he must be nearby.
Where?
R scans the thermal image.
It picks up body heat, so humans come out orange.
He spots someone on a rooftop. The person's lying on a lounger.
I thought you said he was with Dr. Jones.
The thermal image intensifies.
It's getting redder.
Tanner and R exchange a look as it becomes clear there are two people canoodling on the lounger.
007.
R quickly switches the monitor off. M looks round at him.
Must be a premature form of the Millennium Bug.
Bond and Christmas are at it on the lounger.
Yeah? How so?
I thought Christmas only comes once a year.
The screen goes black. ITFC audio description by John Walskill. Caption: James Bond will return.